Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley-Brewer on Talk Radio.
For allowing Gary Lineker back on air without an apology for his tweets likening the government's migrant policy to 1930s Germany. Meanwhile, Britain's fleet of nuclear-powered submarines could be doubled as part of a deal with the US and Australia to counter the growing threat from China. And paedophile pop star Gary Glitter has been recalled to prison for breaking his bail conditions just a month after his early release. The time right now is 7:05. This is Talk Breakfast. Good morning to you. Thank you very much indeed for your company. It is an extraordinary morning after a major defence deal, basically focusing on the fact that goodness knows it's not just a threat from Russia but from China too, something we've discussed quite often on this show, I think you will recall. It is the BBC and Gary Lineker still leading most of the front pages, and the only front pages that don't lead with Gary Lineker lead with another Gary, Gary Glitter, going back to jail. I want to hear from you regarding that BBC deal with Gary Lineker. He's back on air. He has to abide by social media guidelines, although an apology to everybody, including Gary Lineker, apparently, for the kerfuffle at the weekend with Match the Day pretty much turned into a sort of just a couple of videos of the football matches that took place that day. I want to know what your reaction is. Is it a climb down by the BBC? Has this shown that Gary Lineker is bigger than the BBC? Do you think this is the end of the BBC in terms of people's willingness to pay the licence fee? I'd love to hear your reaction. Tweet me at TalkTV. You can text the word talk and then your message to 87222. It'd be good to get your thoughts on that. But just before we go to my guest Benedict Spence and also another guest, just the latest unemployment figures have just been published from the Office for National Statistics, and UK unemployment rate was at 3.7% in the 3 months to January. That's unchanged from the previous 3 months announced last month. So that is probably good news. So no doubt that will come up in the conversations about the spring budget later as well. Right now, though, let me introduce you to Benedict Spence, who's Conservative commentator, joining me this morning. There is the small matter of, you know, possibility of World War III, not just in Ukraine, but also with China. And yet the issue of the BBC and the licence fee and Gary Lineker is still on front pages. But just very briefly, this isn't about Gary Lineker per se, is it? It's all been focused on him. He's the one in the news. But actually, it is about the future of the BBC and the role it has.
Yes, it is. And that's why I think that the BBC has created issues for itself down the road. Whatever its guidelines are with him, there are going to be other senior BBC figures who want to know, does it apply to me? The government, as you can tell, already is, you know, aspects of it are very angry about this. They want to know what the BBC's remit is going to be. Of course, they control pretty much the future of the BBC one way or another. So it's in for a difficult 18 months. And of course, there was also a government policy that everybody seems to have forgotten about that was actually, you know, the focus of the outrage, which, you know, I think Mr. Lineker has done his very best to draw attention away from that, because now we're all talking about a free speech issue. Very smart.
Although it's not a free speech issue. Well, look, let's talk to Tobias Elwood, who's my first guest this hour, Conservative MP, of course, and chair of the Defence Select Committee. And good morning to you, Tobias.
Good morning
to you. Thank you for joining us. Now, I say, I do want to get on to the, I think, rather more important matter than a crisp salesman and footballing pundit and what he tweets about 1930s Germany and government policies. But you know, he has been very critical of the government policies. You know, you're a Tory MP, you support your government. And he has raised huge questions about the future of the BBC as a national institution funded by, with our licence fee, effectively a tax. Do you think this is a game changer for the BBC? Is this the beginning of the end?
I don't think it's the beginning of the end. These are rather dramatic words. I think the BBC provides an incredible service, and I'm pleased to see investment in our world service, given, you know, the importance of transparency of information in this disinformation age. But I think Lineker's tweet, I think it probably was provocative, it was probably unwise, and then it raised questions inside the BBC, you know, about their standards, given you've got Alan Sugar and Andrew Neil and people like that. It's for the BBC to now determine that. I think it's been a huge distraction. I haven't got a problem with Gary Lineker tweeting myself, but it has been a distraction from the bigger, more concerning issue of what we're doing about the migrant issue, what we're doing to stop you know, the boat crossings, what we're doing on the bigger picture, you know, to provide a legal policy which will stand up in international law that will be respected by our allies and institutions, including the United Nations. And we got back to that last night when we debated it in the House. So I think it has been a huge distraction. And as you implied, it's opened up perhaps a hornet's nest inside the BBC, which I'm sure they'll now overcome.
Yes, well, we shall await the results of that, a review of the guidelines of social media. Let's talk about a rather more important affair, which we invited you to talk about, Tobias Elwood, and that is Britain preparing to double its fleet of attack submarines. This after Rishi Sunak went to San Diego, the west coast of the States, to sign this defence pact with US President Joe Biden and, of course, the Australian Prime Minister as well, Anthony Albanese. This is about a massive, big, huge investment into our very technologically advanced submarine fleet with two of our closest and longest allies. It's going to be delivered, we're told, in the 2030s. My guess is therefore 2040s if we're lucky at double the price. The threat we're facing right now in Ukraine, in Europe, from Russia, but also in the Indo-Pacific, and particularly with Taiwan and Japan also feeling that stress from China, that's going to come long before the 2030s or the 2040s. Is this enough?
Well, firstly, it's a huge step. I think it's really welcome to see us working with, as you described, our closest security allies, Australia and indeed the United States. We've just been sailing and working and building frigates with Australia, the Type 26. So this is an advance on that and will secure a lot of industrial jobs, defence-based jobs right across Britain. So I think this is really welcome news. But what you're saying is absolutely right. This is for the long term, recognising where the world is actually going. And we need to be also appreciating, just as the Prime Minister was saying, the danger, the disorder, the division, if you like, the pace of geopolitical change is now intensified. And I'm not sure we're there yet. And yesterday we had the big announcement of the new integrated review, as it's called, IR23, and we saw no new money for the Army, Air Force or Navy. We saw us replenishing our stocks of ammunition, quite rightly. We saw money for the nuclear projects, as we've just been speaking about, but nothing for our hollowed out army. And I'm afraid we're on the foothills of a new Cold War. We're still on a peacetime defense budget. And that is wrong.
And this is the big worry, isn't it? Because we've seen, I mean, certainly the Poles, they've got to grips with it. They know they're sort of next in line with the threat from Russia. They've massively increased their percentage of GDP they're spending on defence. We've seen other countries, well, Germany and others, frankly, a long time coming. But still, nothing like what the Americans spend by far. I think the next five biggest countries don't spend the same as America does. But China have just only recently moved there to a 5% of GDP spending on the military. That is under no, there's no way you could look at it any other way. That is China on a war footing. We are not yet, even though we are involved in supplying one side of a war in Europe, we are not yet on a war footing. Do you think that our leaders, in even with the strong language, you hinted on that about Rishi Sunak saying that Russia's invasion of Ukraine and a more aggressive China, his words are, he says, threatening to create a world defined by danger, disorder and division. He predicted a difficult and dangerous decade ahead. He seems to have got to grips with it. But does the money, does the investment, does the practicalities, the reality, does that actually match the rhetoric?
Well, again, you know, you sum it up well. I've read the new document, the publication, the integrated review, Refresh 2023. I've never seen such strong language, which shows the deteriorating threat picture across the world, not just in Europe as well. Then it goes on to, quite rightly, to say Britain wants to have a commitment to be a global, you know, world shaping world events and be participating on the international stage, but we simply can't do that without the hard power that backs it up. And 18 frigates and destroyers will not cut it. You know, an army with just 72,000 people in it will not cut it. An army with just 148 tanks is not enough. And I'm baffled. I really am baffled that we have not invested more in our three conventional services. The last IR actually saw many of these platforms cut, because we had a tilt towards cyber and space, quite rightly, but because the budget was frozen, then we had all these platforms that were cut, you know, including the Hercules aircraft, for example, fighting vehicle.
But this is the thing, isn't it? We are spending a lot of money on the nuclear-powered submarines, on nuclear. That's a huge, huge cost, again, as maintaining our place as a permanent member of the National the National Security Council. We also have, you know, all that cyber stuff. But we still need those conventional weapons, as we're seeing in Ukraine. Actually, you know, it does come down to, you know, men, tanks on the ground, those missiles, you know, guns. You know, we're often sort of fighting a war that we think might happen, or one that has already happened, as opposed to how wars often end up playing out. No. So I would say that as an armchair general, but even I can see that there's a horrible flaw here. A lot of people will be saying this morning, we're approaching spring budget, and people are still, I mean, we've got this horrible cold weather, people still worrying about their heating bills, paying for food at the supermarket and all of the other things that have gone up in price. And they're just saying, we don't have the money. How come we've got money for this nuclear-powered subs, but we haven't got money to help people with energy bills or pensions or to pay doctors more so they're not on strike with the NHS, all of that? But this is about effectively an insurance policy, isn't it? That age-old quote, you know, speak softly but carry a big stick. We need to have that big stick if we're going to prevent a war.
It's not just preventing the war. It's actually concluding a war as well. And the biggest danger that we face now in 2023 is a frozen conflict in Ukraine, which will allow Putin to claim some form of victory. You're absolutely right that people in Britain are concerned about the price, the cost of living and so forth, energy and food. But guess why those are high? It's because of Ukraine. If the war in Ukraine hadn't taken place, inflation in the UK would be at 4%. How different our world would be there than rather the double figures that it's reached recently. So it's in our interest to put that fire out, to get the grain out of Odessa, which we've spoken about many times. We still are not trying to achieve that. We are still watching what Russia does and responding to it rather than shaping the agenda ourselves. Goes back to having the hard power and the convening power. And we illustrated that when we offered the 11, the squadron of tanks. We had the political courage to do so, and then others followed. So we don't need always to do the heavy lifting, but we do need the hard power to set the example. And right now, we're not investing in our armed forces in recognition of the threats that are coming very clearly over the hill.
Tobias Elwood, Conservative MP, Chair of the Defence Select Committee, thank you very much indeed. I am always very aware, Benedict Spence, that when I've had a conversation with Tobias Elwood on air, online, an awful lot of people will be saying, oh, you know, here you are, warmongering again. No. We didn't start the war in Ukraine. Putin did that.
Yeah.
China has said very clearly they are planning to retake Taiwan. They regard Taiwan as their territory. End of discussion. Mm. They will take it peacefully. That's not going to happen. Therefore, they will take it militarily. They have been very, very clear about that. So we're going to have to be prepared. Are we just going to go, oh, fair enough. No problem. Off you go. Mm. The economic impact, even if you didn't care about people on the other side of the world, people might start caring when they realise there's basically no technology left anymore because every single top-grade microchip in the world is made in Taiwan.
Yeah, and that's ultimately that's what it's about. It's about control. Because actually, if you give China control of Taiwan, like if you give Russia control of Ukraine, it starts to have more influence on your life over what it is that you can do, the prices that you have to pay for things, what your government can or cannot do. And that's what, you know, people need to step back and look at the bigger picture and say, it's not just about sinking money into a conflict that you may or may not think we have any role in. It's the knock-on effects of that. It is trying to play these so-called, you know, 4D chess and see several moves ahead. If you don't do that, fine. But your country will become weaker and it will then become at the behest of those other powers like China and Russia. Yeah. And I would rather be part of, you know, the Western power bloc than one that is beholden to those
exactly.
countries.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, you might not like America, but you know what? You know,
better
you don't,
than China, better than Russia.
Make a choice, people.
Yeah.
we're going to have to pick one side. It's pretty clear to me which is better for us. 7:18 is the time. I'm going to get to some of your texts and tweets coming in thick and fast about Gary Lineker and the BBC. I want to know what's your reaction to the settlement as it is right now. We're also going to be talking more about that with a former BBC producer.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley-Brewer on Talk Radio.